continue through it, just kind of take the chapter and make some points as we go throughout it. Been a little while since I've gone through with being gone a couple weeks and then singing last week, and so been probably about a month or so since we've went through it. And the very first verse here, chapter 4, first part, says therefore, and it's referring back to things previously spoken. And so just a reminder of some of the things that we pointed out as it's gone through is, of course, God speaking in times past in a different way. And of course, we've been talking in visions and dreams and our study of Daniel, but now speaks through the Son. Continued in that in chapter 2, pointing that out. And then here in chapter 3, and it's going to continue on here in chapter 4 as it ended in chapter 3, of making that comparison of Israel, the time of Moses, to us today. Because if you pick up in verse 16 of chapter 3, it says, "For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, those who whose bodies fell in the wilderness, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see they were not able to enter because of unbelief." And so as we enter into chapter 4, it's a continuation of that right there, that it talks about entering into the rest. That is pretty much this whole entire chapter here, continuation and mindset of the rest of God, the Sabbath rest, the rest in which he was trying to give them in the land of Canaan, and of course the rest that we are to gain, the rest that we can gain from them, as we might speak of today, but of course in the end game of a rest in heaven. So that's kind of a mindset that we should be having, or just some thoughts to think about as we read through this chapter and go forth and make some points. So starting with verse 1, it says, "Therefore let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it." So again, in mindset that they're already talked about in the last chapter, those who did not enter into rest, it says, let us fear while there still remains a promise for us, while there is a promise of rest for you. Let us have a fear of God, a fear of trembling and fear. Again, not fears of this world, not a mindset of being anxious about what we're going to eat and drink, but a fear of God. Let us fear lest we miss out on God's rest. Because God made this promise to them also, right? He brought them all the way to the land, and they end up missing out on entering into this rest that God had promised to them. And so he says, let us fear while the promise remains, lest we come short. And in verse 2 it says, "For indeed we have a good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest. Just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world." And so, as we look at these two verses again, a mindset of continuation on speaking of the rest, and it brings out that we've received good news preached to us. And that's, again, the Word of God is good news. The gospel is the good news. Salvation through Christ. Jesus saying in Matthew 11, "All who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest." Saying, come, and I will give you rest. And upon that, we are able to enter in that rest. We're able to have a rest today, but also that we are striving to enter into heaven and we're to get that full rest that he is promising to us. But he brings out, you know, they were warned also. They were preached to also. Again, God started his promise, his covenant with Abraham, and it was passed to Isaac and to Jacob. And as time went on, they went into Egypt. And as Moses came, he continuously was preaching to them, continuously taught them and encouraged them to be faithful. But the difference of those who receive the rest and those who do not, as we read here, brings out, because it was not united by faith, or some might say mixed with faith, and those who heard. And they did
did not receive it with faith. They did not receive it believing that they could enter into this land, that they could conquer those who they had to cast out of the land. The giants, that they weren't able to defeat them. They didn't have faith. Even as Joshua and Caleb had returned and they brought good news, saying, yeah, we can do this. We can take them. Moses saying, yes, God has commanded us to. They did not take that part in faith, but rather they continued in fear, not trusting, not believing that God could deliver them, and wanted to rely again back on their trusty everyday portions of food and drinks, protection from the Egyptians, saying, let us go back. Let us select a man to help us return to that. And so we enter into verse 3, where it brings, again, we read this, and those who have believed enter the rest, but then, as it again quotes the Old Testament, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, because they did not believe, they did not receive it with faith. And so if we desire to have our part with God, and again, Hebrews has a lot to say about our faith, that is, again, what it's talking about here in entering into the rest. And so in verse 4, picking up there, it says, for he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from his works. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. And so this, going back up with verse 3, the last part of that, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, it's trying, I believe, as we look at this, make the conclusion of, again, God created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh, rested on the Sabbath, made the Sabbath holy unto the children of Israel, that they were to keep the Sabbath holy. It was a reminder of the rest, but obviously it wasn't a full rest, because they were trying to get to the land of Canaan. And here in a moment, we're going to talk about Joshua in verse 8, and how they had work still to be done. So they hadn't fully received the rest, though God was giving them rest, and rest from the beginning, that God even shows that after his works were done. And so here, God rested on the seventh day from his works, and then again, continuously going back to this point, they shall not enter my rest. And looking at verses 6 and 7 here, it says, therefore, since it remains for some to enter, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day today, saying, through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today if you have heard his voice, do not harden your hearts. And so, though they didn't enter the rest, there is still the opportunity to enter into the rest. That is what it's getting to here, even as it gets to the point of using David as an example. David saying, today, if you will hear, if you will open your hearts to receive the truth and obey it and believe it and trust in God, then today, listen and obey. And then we can gain that rest also. Because again, the word is always there. God has always had prophets, had men that he would send and send warning to. Never that we study throughout the Old Testament, especially with his children of Israel, does he not give fair warning to them? Give them a warning, letting them know of what is about to take place, that they were going to be punished, that they didn't have the word to hear the truth. And so we have the opportunity today, if we will open up our hearts, if we will listen to the word of God. Now as I get into verse 8, it starts off with Joshua, and again, if you're using King James translation, I believe it will say Jesus, possibly the new King James, I forget if that one did or not. Again, it'd be going back to the original text to find that it is speaking of Joshua here. It's just, again, how close the letters are all similar in the meaning, coming to the same point. But it's speaking of Joshua, and I believe the context of the scriptures equals out to it being Joshua. So verse 8 says, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So again, as we kind of think about the time of Moses, the children of Israel, them trying to get to this land, then they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 days, and then we get here to where Joshua is at. Joshua does lead them into the land. Joshua and Caleb go in there, they conquer, they lead, they do their part, but the work wasn't done. The land of Canaan had not taken out all the Canaanites, the Amorites, the and they did not push them all out, destroy them all as they should have. And so there was still work to be done. There was still work after this. And that's why if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains, verse 9, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And again, so this is, I believe, a connection of all the things that we've been studying, not to the point that it's telling us that we are to keep the Sabbath today as they did under the old law. Some translations don't even put the word Sabbath in here. It just goes into rest. And so for the people of God, and again, kind of makes my mind go to Matthew 11:28, as we read quoted earlier, the Lord saying, I will give you rest. We gain rest as our sins are forgiven. We have a peace in our heart. And of course, the ultimate rest that we are all striving for is they were trying to get to the land of Canaan and gain a rest there, as we are striving to get to heaven and gain rest there. And so in verse 10, if you follow along with me here, it says, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Again, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. And so, to an extent that our sins are forgiven when we obey the gospel, we gain a partial rest at that time and point. There's work that we are still striving, and there is to be done, right? We still have to be faithful until death to receive that crown of life. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And so therefore, we still have work to be done, and so we haven't entered in that final rest with our God up in heaven. There's still work to be done. And so as verse 11 says, let us be diligent to enter that rest. And if you've yet to receive the rest of Jesus calling to you, then there's still studying that needs to be done, still praying that needs to be done, repentance and confession and being baptized, washing your sins away. And though, again, that you don't wash your sins away, God is the one that forgives your sins. God is the one that removes those things. Jesus' blood is what cleanses you. And He is the one, God is the one that adds you to His kingdom. We have to remember that we do have actions that follow our faith, that we must work with our faith and continue so until we receive that rest. So verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and pierces as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so here's talking about the Word of God. The Word of God is something not to just throw around simply and use the words, however, to take the name of God or Lord in vain. It's here again, if we were to teach anyone about, kids with swords, when we went to Gatlinburg, and the kids, we went to the knife store, kids wanted a knife, or better yet, the boys want to buy a giant sword. You have to take the mindset, there's going to be rules with that, right? You can't just go forth and play sword fight with that. Same thing here. We have to be wise in how we use the Word of God. That's why so often we see times and points about, and even the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there was a gift of knowledge and a gift of wisdom. A gift of understanding the Word of God, and then I believe in the way I interpret the way I understand it, is a gift of wisdom, the use, the understanding of how to apply it correctly, and to teach it in the right manner, and how to approach this brother in Christ that is dealing with this issue, and to use the Word of God wisely in guiding them, or even to disciplining them, and helping one another as we go through it. The Word of God, though, can do it. It is sharp as a two-edged sword, able to pierce the heart, the soul, get through the marrow and the joints, and it's able to judge our thoughts. Again, it's just think about what the Word of God can do, what it is being compared to here. And as we enter into the next verse, verse 13, it says, and there is no creature hidden, no one hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And so we can't hide from God. We can't hide in secret. There's no place in which you can get to. Again, Jonah being a great example there, that he tried to run away. He tried to hide. He tried to go a different direction. But God knew where he was. God sees all things and will bring all things into judgment. And in verse 14 it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." And so here, bringing our Lord and Savior here and how we gain rest from Him, because He is there. He is the one that has died for us. He is the one that has been tempted in all things as we have been tempted, and therefore He is a high priest who can understand what you are going through. So often that is a mindset that we get caught up in saying, well, you just wouldn't understand, or you haven't been through what I've been through. But we know that Jesus did live a life upon this earth. He aged as a baby to grow up to a man. He went forth and was rejected. He was cursed. He was betrayed. He was, in some ways, in many ways, went through more than what we have gone through. And so He can sympathize with our weakness. He can knows where we need strength, how to aid and assist us. And that's why He is our high priest. That is why He is our mediator. And so finishing up with verse 16, it says, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Again, here He can kind of cleans this all up. He says, "Therefore, as we consider all these things, we consider what Jesus has done for us, what the Word of God can do for us, the example of those of our forefathers, of the children of Israel, and what they had done wrong, and what some had done right, and how we are able to gain that rest. Let us draw near with confidence. Let's be like Joshua and Caleb, who had confidence to enter into the land and to follow faithfully in God, to approach the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in the time of need." So I don't want to leave without extending the invitation, as after we have studied here in Hebrews chapter 4, talking about gaining the rest. And if you're here and you've yet to feel that the burdens washed from your soul, that the mindset of "I'm no longer being held accountable for these sins spiritually because God has forgiven me. The blood of Christ has washed those sins away. I know that when judgment comes, whether that be today or tomorrow, that Christ has forgiven those sins. That God has added me to His kingdom." Then we encourage you to do that today. That you come forward and that you are baptized and wash your sins away and gain that rest, knowing that as you live faithfully from this point on, that you will have a home in heaven and you will receive eternal rest there. So if you need the prayers of congregation, or you desire to obey the gospel, whatever your name is, please let us know as we stand and sing.